Hello, fellow carers. My name is Math McKenzie, an unpaid carer like yourself. Now, I'm hoping to do you a favour and share with you my personal experience of providing unpaid care to someone with mental health needs. You are listening to number 12 in the series of Motivational Carer Talks. Now, these audios aim to help unpaid carers find some form of hope in their role as a carer and also provide a little education. So it's not just therapeutic and uplifting, but also educational as well. And as mentioned in the before and in the other audios, this audio is also in two sections, the first being more educational. So you know what you're in for as a carer. And the other section is more uplifting and therapeutic for carers because God knows we need it. Let's get started with the educational section. And the topic for this audio, I think, is dealing with difficult times. So, okay, let's be educational. What is classified as difficult times for a carer, especially if you're new to the role of caring? Well, I'll mention a few common situations unpaid carers can face. You know, I have not met many carers who say that caring is easy. I guess it could depend on who or what they're caring for. However, let's start. So I could put it down to a crisis, I suppose. Caring during a crisis is, I'd say, most certainly the number one situation that I would class as, let's say, a difficult period. And what I mean by this is when the cared for becomes very unwell, you would have the carer who is now trying their best to provide that care and support. Now, I mentioned that it is a crisis because the cared for might not be that unwell in the future. But as you know, mental health and physical health can go up and down. And when it decides to go down, what I'm trying to say is when it gets worse. This being, let's say, when the cared for relapses, then it is considered a crisis. So that's one example of a difficult time or difficult period. Let's say another difficult situation, which is common, unfortunately, is no support when it's needed the most. Especially during a crisis, like I've mentioned before, when I mean no support, that could mean, let's say, no mental health services or perhaps not even carer support. Now, okay, imagine this. Let's say you're cared for is beginning to self-harm or is very unwell from an eating disorder, and you know you're on the phone asking for that much needed, let's say, bed at the hospital for them so they can be given psychiatric care. However, and I'm sure in some situations this has happened, however, you get an answering machine. Maybe it could be late at night, I don't know. But then during the day it's possible. Or even they did answer the phone and promised to return your call, but you know, there is nothing. Or even worse, there probably might not even be a hospital bed in that area. So that means that the carer could be on their own desperately trying to save the cared for's life in some sense. Worst of all, it could boil down to the carer is at risk of harm. Because unfortunately, there are situations when the cared for could attack the person that is caring for them. Now, I'm not labeling all those who have mental illness violent. That's not the situation. That's not the case at all. And I'm not saying that all carers are angels. But the fact is, and it does happen, some carers, unpaid carers, family relations can come to harm. Even if it's the cared for, yes, they can come to harm as well. But one thing that is missing in this critical situation is the support. And that, I'd say, is another example of a difficult situation. So I think I can try and think of two more. Okay, how about this one? Very common and very political. And I'm sorry, I have to keep bringing this up. The period of austerity, cuts to services. And it, you know, the next difficult situation, I suppose, is when families and carers face financial hardship. And there's been a situation with the UK where we've had mergers of benefits and claims. So it tends to go to the cared for. Whatever the carer used to get from benefit is all being merged and aimed at the cared for. And if the carer wants something, they would have to take that part of that money away that's aimed at the cared for. Now, as I mentioned before, there's obviously has also been cuts to carer funding from, let's say, carers' assessments. And even worse, if the unpaid carer, because of their role, it's difficult for them to hold a job down or even get a job. Especially if they are caring for someone who is chronically or critically unwell. So what happens out of all of this? Well, let me tell you. The family gets desperate and thus starts looking around for means of support. And as you notice, there's a lot of these food banks sprung up around the country. I've seen a few signs for them in the street, your local food bank. And obviously, when the family gets desperate, they start queuing up. They start looking for donation shops and handouts because, unfortunately, the state saw it fit in austerity to cut services. And as usual, the vulnerable, the elderly, infirm, those who are mentally unwell, unfortunately, get the raw deal. And yes, I'm sorry, it's political. But many carers, especially those I've come across, face this day in and day out. And you know what? It's a difficult situation for them. So, okay, let me think. The last one is also common because I do want to, this video is about coping through difficult situations, not just labeling what they are, but I'm trying to be educational here. I'm trying to educate people. I'm trying to educate carers on what they may face at the time of this recording anyway. So, all right, how about this one? And this is very common in a mental health crisis, and that basically is coping with relationship problems with the cared for. Now, I guess this one could be like a whole different audio. I will cover this in the future, but you know, as in mental health patients, or the mental health cared for, the carer can have a whole range of relationship issues as the mental health of the cared for may decline. And, you know, put it this way, you know, no one wants to be completely reliant on someone else for care, especially if you have mental health issues that can cloud your judgment, you know, that can cloud your mind. Afterwards, mental health. Unfortunately, the cared for, you know, can, not all of them, but they can lash out at the very person providing that love, care and support. And because of the following, let me break it down even further, why they would lash out. Let's say, for instance, I've mentioned before, the mental illness can cloud the cared for capacity, causing them to believe things that are not true about the carer that's caring for them, you know, not true about the family member or the friend, and they may feel that the carer is a threat. Now, I'm not saying that's completely wrong. Obviously, it explains why when someone is really unwell, yes, they're taken to a place of safety, so these things are not going to happen. So that's one reason for a relationship crisis. Another one is the person, and this is common, the person thinks that the carer is siding with the mental health system. Now think of it this way, that the carer is trying to remind the kid, for no fault of their own, to take the medication. Now, I can understand why the carer wouldn't want to take medication because of the devastating side effects. Not to say all medication has devastating side effects, some more than others. But then the cared for does get annoyed about this. And it's not just medication, it's trying to bring the cared for to attend specific appointments that aim to support them, like the GP appointment or appointments with the social workers, things like that. Another one is, and this is again common, that the cared for feels the carer does not understand the mental health illness and lashes out. Well, yeah, of course the carer doesn't understand. But then there's no other person there that is perhaps going to help the cared for in the best of the ability. So thus, the carer will take the blame. A few more would be stigma. You know, mental health issues, mental health illness does have stigma. No one likes to be labeled and there's a few that don't mind it because they know what they're dealing with. But when someone tells someone that, you know, you're suffering from schizophrenia, then I can understand the cared for saying, no, that cannot be possible. I'm not mad and things like that. So it's stigma. And unfortunately, stigma has caused the relationship between the carer and the cared for to deteriorate even further, especially when the carer is trying to say, look, to the cared for, look, in order to cope with the illness, you need to understand it. And thus stigma can spring up from that. I think last one I can think of what is worse is when the mental health system acts funny. Now, this is a whole different audio. I will tackle this later on in one of the series. When I say acts funny, I'm saying that they're not doing as they ought to. And then the carer's relationship can suffer with the cared for. And I'll give you a good example, especially if, let's say, mental health staff, mental health nurses, mental health doctors and psychiatrists breach carer confidentiality. Especially when the carer is doing a role, when they're updating the mental health team about the cared for. And thus, the staff then, it could be accidentally, they tell the cared for that, oh, your carer said this about you. And then there you have it, the relationship is going to take a nosedive. So, okay, last one. All right, this I think is, you know, I've left the least, or the last, I suppose, and is actually the most important, which explains why I'm doing the whole of these audios from 1 to 64. And basically what this difficult period is not knowing what to do. Now, if all and the above are considered difficult situations, then not knowing what to do makes the above, what I've mentioned before, 10 times worse. Now, this is why I've mentioned this difficult situation last, because it can be applied to everything, even the most simple of actions. So when a carer does not know what to do or can't even do anything about the situation, for instance, the financial issues, they don't know what to do, the mental health relapse, they don't know what to do, or dealing with difficult staff or lack of resources, then you can see why the carer becomes the next mental health patient. And yeah, you might think it's funny, and you know, in some sense it is. But then when you can understand it, when you get all this and more, mental health, we all have it, is only so much you can take. Let's get some quotes into the mix. This is the educational section. I've taken a report from NHS England, and here it states, increasing hours of carers often results in the general health of the carers deteriorating incrementally. Now, unpaid carers who provide high levels of care for the sick or disabled relatives and friends are more than twice as likely to suffer from poor health compared to people without care responsibilities. Now, this is coming from NHS England. Now, even more startling, another thing NHS England didn't mention is on young carers who are caring for someone, for instance, let's say possibly a parent or sibling with mental illness. Now, here it says from this side, it says, many young carers remain hidden from sight for a host of reasons, including family loyalty, stigma, bullying, not knowing where to go for support. Now, isn't any wonder why I have done an audio on this very subject? While families, carers and young carers, those who lack the voice and life experience in the first place, find themselves in a situation where they lack control, the education, or even power on dealing with difficult situations when they are providing care. So anyway, how can carers deal with difficult times? You know, how can you deal with a difficult time? Well, you know, often I say, I've got to say this, it's not easy. That's the very first thing I'd say to any carer. It's not tick box, it's not easy. Your mind's racing, you've not prepared for it. You've not experienced it. And it might be the first time that you have, and I understand that. And I'm not saying it's your fault. And I don't expect it to be easy. But what I do expect is for unpaid carers, like you, perhaps, if you're listening to this, if you're an unpaid carer listening, or like me, to try. And the very first step I would say to carers, and I've said this before at my carers forums that I run, is to say to them, like, plan ahead, if you can. If you are a carer listening to this audio, then well done. Because in some sense, you are planning ahead. You are listening to some of the problems carers face up and down the country, or even worldwide. Why not? Carers can educate themselves about the illness, you know, about the mental health system, perhaps. They can educate themselves on it if they have a chance. Carers can read up on what the hospital services or what the ward, the inpatient mental health ward, can provide the care and support, or get advice from carer advocates at the local carer centre. The next way to try and deal with difficult situations is to know who does what in that role and request for help. Now, this could be a social worker, an advocate, a peer supporter, a doctor, a care coordinator, or even patient advice and liaison service at your local NHS hospital. Now, and it really helps to know who does what and get that support. You know, ask questions or queries, so if you can, or even if you should, even if you should help, then ask it before things get out of hand. You know, check my audio on, I think it's chapter 8 or audio number 8, empowering yourself in dealing with health professionals. And there will be more to come on this, I swear. How about idea number three, which is, now I know this is controversial, but you know what, it's as simple as this: complain. You know, if no one is answering your calls at the community mental health team, complain. No beds left at the hospital for a long length of periods, complain. Staff being rude, bullying, or not talking to you, complain. Not getting a carer's assessment or follow-up after a while, but complain. If carers are not using their voice or complaining, you know, who at the top, you know, makes those decisions on services can work out if there is an underlying issue. And the only way they can find out is the number of complaints. And they would say to themselves, you've got a problem here. So if carers are frightened or not empowered to complain or use their voice, then the difficult periods, now listen to me, the difficult periods will happen again and again and again. You know, write to them in a letter, you know, date and keep a copy to yourself. You know, email is even better. There's nothing wrong with calling or phoning, even to ask for a meeting. You know, if they won't respond, then who is their manager? If their manager is being funny, then who is their manager? Look, if there is a wall of silence, you know, I bet there are other carers that this very situational problem is happening to them. Speak to another carer, you know. Look, I'm not trying to be antagonistic. You know, what is there to lose? Staff go home after getting paid. And the unpaid carer, you know, what are they left with? They're left with the cared for, being at home, unwell, looking to the carer to help things get better. And it's all on you or all on the carer. Now, all I can say is God bless the NHS staff who are making that difference. But until then, use your voice. It's your right. Now, another way in dealing with difficult times is record as much as you can. So, and I'm not saying record on the phone, that's just silly. I'm saying record things written. If this situation reoccurs again, at least you have an idea of what to do. Now, again, this is not easy, since I'm not the best at writing things down. But, you know, if you can manage to at least note down in a journal, like a long list of things that has happened in the past, then basically you are building up, a long list of evidence for when it's needed again. Now, it could help you out. I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't. But it could also help the cared for and educate both of you on what you can use to counteract issues with, let's say, the mental health or social services. And lastly, I have to be honest, sometimes there is no escape. Hard times will hit you. Difficult times will hit the carer. So sometimes, the above will make a little difference, what I've mentioned before. But after all, mental illness in its very definition is a complex it's a complex issue, and also the family and the social structure. Sometimes carers will just have to ride it out and be that silent shield, that brick wall, and just soak up that damage during those difficult times. Now, if the carer is suffering during that difficult period, then I'd say at least try and contact someone. Maybe a friend, someone close that you can speak to when those moments are really low. Obviously, if friends are lacking, and obviously not many carers do have friends. Obviously, they've flown away, I don't know. Then distraction can help. You know, I sometimes like playing computer games or maybe read a book. Also, it helps to be aware of your thoughts. As I mentioned, record them in a journal. You know, it can be painful. No one really wants to relive those painful and negative thoughts. But at least you begin to recognize what is hurting you. And if you reread those thoughts in that journal, you can attempt to counteract it. You can, you know, if you're saying in that journal like that day, look, you're a terrible person because you've let your cared for down, then it's time to start thinking, say, no, you're not, because at least you're trying. Of course, these things will not always work, but it is known that carers, you go through these difficult periods, you go through these difficult times, will develop a thicker skin. And I suppose another thing you could do is at least, let's say, listen to self-help audios. You know, like the one you're listening to now, if you're a carer. And if you're still listening, if you're still carrying on listening through this audio, then I'm proud of you. So then, so why is dealing with difficult times important for carers? And I hope you've got the message already. Well, you know, when it's all said and done, you have to try and stay in that role for as much as you can. and as much as you can take in regards to your own health and well-being. Failing to deal with the difficult times could mean the decline in your health, as NHS England has mentioned. Not just yourself, but also for the cared for. Now, I want all carers to know it is not easy. It's not an easy journey. And they should brace themselves. So without a doubt, let's start on to section 2 of this audio, which is the more, say, therapeutic section, which is aimed at unpaid carers listening. So it can give you a chance to reflect on dealing with difficult times or difficult situations. Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So here we are. Just you and me, both unpaid carers, dealing through those difficult times, difficult moments, and standing strong against something we both did not cause in the first place. I want you to know that as carers, we are not to blame when those we care for becomes unwell because they do not like those horrible medications. And yes, some medicines do work, but the side effects, those side effects. I want you to know that it's not your fault when there is a lack of mental health services and you have to watch the person you care for sink even lower into depression, sink low into hallucinating, physical illness due to them not eating, becoming confused, desperate, clinging on to something. It's not your fault. I want you to know that it is not your fault when the cared for lashes out because they are frustrated, lacking mental capacity, and they turn against you when you have put your faith in those to keep it confidential, that the cared for behavior is causing them to become even more unwell. What are you meant to do? I want you to know it's not your fault when the services have been cut so badly, that you are hungry and you might not have enough money in the first place when the person you cared for was perhaps the breadwinner for the family. And as a family, you need to see it through. But now, well, there's not enough food and you have to rely on charity of others who are themselves. They don't even have that much resources in the first place. I want you to know this. Me, you, us carers, are not completely powerless. Although it's only small, there are some ways to gain some insight into the mental health condition. Read up on it. Know this, there are those in the NHS, someone in social services, looking to make that difference for you or me. Just contact them. Know this, being prepared and noticing what you're going through is the start of dealing through those very difficult times that you are facing or yet to face. You are not weak. You are not worthless. You are doing a good and honest job despite no matter what anyone says. Protecting your family, protecting those that you love. You're caring for you know, anyone who is trying to care for someone is worth this sort on this earth and would do the same, wouldn't they? Deal with those difficult times and you'll be an example to others. There's no sense in failing, but do your best. My friend, good luck in your caring journey. Thank you all for listening. You have been listening to the new carer audio series from A Mentor of Carer, Matthew McKenzie. Please spread the word, and I'll see you next time on a topic I think is called identity. See you next time, and good luck in your caring journey.